What's up, everybody? What you're about to hear is actually episode number 3 of my newest morning show. I have my amazing co-host, the Michaels, aka Michael Ross from Bidroom.com, Michael Golden from NoiseAware. If you're an avid podcast listener, especially of Slick Talk, you'll understand those names, because they've been on the show. So it's pretty great to be able to do this new show concept with them. I'm excited. We talk about industry news and topics that are highlighted throughout every week. And then, of course, as you'll hear in this episode, we're going to be talking about the top trends that we've seen, as well as the main topic of flexibility. So I hope you guys enjoy. It's a lot of fun. Tune in every Monday morning. We go live on Facebook and YouTube. And then, of course, you can subscribe to the new podcast as well on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. So enjoy, guys.
He's kind of like the Joe Rogan of the hospitality industry right now.
All right, you gotta love slow video intro delays. Those are always the best. but Monday morning we are back. Good morning, hospitality. I got the Michaels with me once again, and we've had pretty productive weeks. I would say, you know, new month. It's now November 2nd. We're getting close to a lot of cool stuff happening here. So, gentlemen, how's the week before? What's cracking? What's new?
Yeah,
it's all good. And you, Mike, start with you this time.
All right. Yeah, it was quite a busy one for us at NoiseAware. We held a virtual conference, and I had a lot of really cool companies and good speakers on it. A few of the trends that we talked about we'll discuss on the show today. But yeah, it was quite a hectic week. Glad the new week.
What was your main takeaway from the event? Anything cool?
Well, anytime Simon Lehman speaks, it's all about profitability. So,
yeah.
It's good to hear a couple of different avenues of Simon approaching profitability. But the one that I'm excited to talk about today is the flexibility within travel altogether, from booking to operations to the actual physical space.
Yeah, I agree. And Simon, yeah, he got me amped up on the second day. He went fire all in. It was great. I loved it. Something powerful about just starting your morning of talking about profitability in the hospitality space. What about you, Ross? What you got?
That's why I'm wearing red, right? I know that Simon's favorite color is red, right? So I don't know if he's wearing his red shoes. It was a good week, actually. It was busy like always, which is good. The funny thing is, like, on Wednesday, we had our monthly update, and we always try to make it special. So this time it was Halloween theme, so everybody was dressed as scary people and everything. It was pretty cool, so people did effort. So it's always nice to see the whole team complete. And we also had our conference. We had iMeet Hotel, our conference last week. Huge success. Many Italians. Actually, it was focusing on the Italian market, and many takeaways I will share later. But I think the most important one that came back was innovation.
Innovation was the main one?
Yeah. I think a lot of people talk about innovation now, yeah. So it was artificial intelligence, human intelligence, and innovation. And the same with also, you can, which you see also in the vacation rentals, smart locks, everything came back. So it was cool.
And vouchers, right?
Don't even get me started, man. That's such a good one. I'm going to write my notes now for the voucher startup that we're going to create. No, I think it's really, really good stuff. I tuned into iMeet Hotel early in the morning, Thursday. And then I also was a part of the Return on Rentals with you, Michael. So both great events, like tons of good stuff. I think it was like a good couple of days of geeking out. And obviously it helped us get ready for this show today. So, you know, I got to give you guys both kudos for providing the content. We're already predicting it ahead of time, you know, I love it. So yeah, this is we're talking about flexibility and trends, and I know we both just kind of talked about innovations and kind of what's going on with everything like that. And I want to know what are the main trends? Some flexibility, obviously, we see in cancellations and how people are booking and what's going on with the industry as a whole with hotels and vacation rentals. But maybe this I'll start with Ross on maybe a trend in innovation that you're seeing that we're going to talk about today.
Well, they were talking a lot about personalization, but still also like the AI combination with a human interface, right? So how can we use technology to improve processes, also in communication? Because also they showed actually that people do appreciate chatbots if they're able to solve problems quicker or answer quicker. Why not? So it was came back quite often. Of course, the smart locks, those kind of things was discussed. Like how can technology, how can innovation actually help now the properties? And it's also come back to flexibility. You don't have to be there to give the key, etc. But also, of course, when you're looking at the safety, the hygiene stuff, it's also important. So a lot of things were discussed in there. You see really like how innovation can actually help properties as well in generating more reservations, even though it's in a hard time. I think it was also nice that we actually had, we were focusing on the Italian market, right? And we all know that Italy was one of the countries that was hit really, really badly as one of the first ones, actually. So actually they didn't take the learnings maybe from other countries. And well, you can see their hope. And I said to them as well, actually every year I go to Italy with my family. And this is the first year actually since years I didn't go. Was happy to be around Italian people that meeting. Yeah, and I hope everything will come back for them soon, because they really, you see, especially I think in Italy, there's a lot of single owned hotels, B&Bs, family owned hotels, and they are really struggling now. When you see the chain hotel, they have some more financial resources, right? So they're struggling, but you can see they're hopeful. So
yeah,
it was a good session with insights, and I think the hotels who joined, they're gonna want to get some learnings, but how can they recover? And yeah, also it came back again that now it's a change for distribution channels, innovation. So yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it.
Well, even one of your speakers, Simonet, was on my podcast, and we were talking about the power of, like, back in 1999 when he first started, it was all like paper, you know, hand checking, nothing, no electronics. So you had a ton of time with the guest, and now we have a lot of tech. We have big tech stacks at some properties. Unless you're at like an independent property, more likely not going to have a huge amount. But still, like, our time is used in these ways that are supposed to help the guests, but we're not spending the time that we need to, because we're playing with all these other, these cool bells and whistles, which also are supposed to help the job. But then he was talking about, we need to implement more tech, more to let it automate, to not even automate, but to be so accurately able to unconfuse travel, because there's a lot that goes on with travel. There's so many variables. And I, from looking from that perspective, was super cool for me, because I'm always about the guest experience. And like you said, he was telling me about their markets are like 5% occupancy. And so to be at that low of level, to then think we need more tech in order to get our staff freed, was an interesting perspective to take on. And I understand where he's going with it. And I totally agree that there was a lot of cool things that you could do with APIs and other stuff that would have freed up staff in order to make that human connection a lot better.
Yeah, well, I would talk about APIs, but might be more topic for next time. I think also we go more to like an API economy, right? When everything is connected with somebody else's API, the end, you're just building your product around others' APIs and your own. So it might be an interesting topic for next time. But what Simone indeed said, it was like really this whole combination of artificial intelligence combined with human intelligence is super strong. And a lot of people say people think they have to choose, right? Are we going to stay with the human interface, or are we going to move to AI? But I think the combination could be really strong. So that was coming back to the sessions in there. So it was a good session. Yeah.
That's what I meant to say, was AI, not API, but you know what I mean.
I know, but I helped you a bit.
Thank you. Michael, what about you, man? Because we're seeing a lot of trends, obviously, on the vacation rental side. And I think Mickey from the ROR event was a great speaker on talking about a little bit of innovation and flexibility, especially when it comes to like that hybrid model, which Simon Lehman, of course, said too, we're going to hear that word a lot more. But I think you had a good session with him, and I kind of want to touch base on that.
Yeah, I think something that blends in with what you and Ross were just talking about is, and it's something Mickey and Simon both discussed, and Julie as well, but it was about hospitality in hospitality. And right now, the push is for everything to be automated, everything to be digital, and hotels can learn a lot from short-term rentals, getting people to the door and walking in without having to contact the guest in person. But hotels, historically, they teach a lot to short-term rentals about hospitality. Mm-hmm. And where is the line today, and where is the line going to be 2 years from now? The line today is full-on contactless stays. That's the gold standard.
Yeah.
What's it going to look like in 2 years? I'd like to think hospitality plays a role back in hospitality one more time, but I think people are going to like the ability to walk straight to their room and check in versus standing in a line and doing things that should be automated anyway. There's nothing worse than being on a 10-hour flight, checking in at a hotel and waiting for 30 minutes because they have to give you a key. Like, just send it to my phone and I'll go punch a code in, or I'll use my phone to open up a door. Things that short-term rentals are pros at. And we've been forced to, because there is, all the rooms are not in a single building.
Mm-hmm.
But then the hospitality touch, it's hard to express hospitality digitally. It's very, people travel because they want to meet people and see people and experience cultures and ask questions and learn.
Yeah.
And it's, you can sure, you can do a walking tour from your phone, but that's not cool. It's not giving you a feeling of belonging or being welcome to a place. It's just further distancing yourself from humanity. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how technology can play an important role, but how hospitality gets weaved back into all sectors of travel.
Well, I really liked the Breezeway session, because the property manager that they brought on to discuss their topic was telling how they actually incorporated that hospitality kind of feel to it. Like, hey, this guest doesn't like this. They don't want a mid stay clean. They want this, this, and this. Adding those personal touches. And because I think that's where the biggest, from my point of view, from when I was a manager, was that the front desk would know all these things, right? Mr. Smith is not like this. He wants to do, blah, 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 you name it. And it gets all done on their side, but nobody communicates it to the housekeeping or even to the maintenance person. And so let's say my maintenance director is going to go help, fix a fireplace, but he doesn't know that Mr. Smith wants, things done a certain way. I don't know, you name it, right? But incorporating that into a platform where the whole team is able to be able to provide hospitality. Cause I think that's where one thing is, the front desk always gets the hospitality credit, but there's no, housekeepers don't see the notes inside a reservation. They see a room occupied, dirty, or clean. That's pretty much
it. Some hotels, right? We just spoke last time about Citizen M when they introduced a different business model, but also when you're looking at their people, right? It is the same person could help you with a check-in, even though you have to check in by yourself. But if you need any help, somebody will help you. And it's the same person who's selling stuff from their shop, but it's the same person also serving in the restaurant. So they're making this flexibility also within the workforce. But I think for people within the hotel, it's pretty fun to do different stuff and not always stand behind the bar or always behind the reception. So there's also, if you talk about flexibility, I think it comes back also in your workforce and your employees.
Yeah. What was the bank that did away with tellers and they created a coffee shop?
I think it was Umpqua, right? Umpqua was known for some hospitality training change that they made 10 years ago.
I'm talking about a bank, like Bank of America or Capital One or something. You can go into their bank, but it's really just a coffee shop.
Yeah, there's some in the U.S. Was it the one? Yeah, I'm just thinking.
Well, Umqua did something like that 10 years ago, but Capital One just launched a cafe. I think
Capital One could be indeed, yeah, because you can drink a coffee. They're helping you, and then you can buy a coffee, but also you can just have a chilly chat in there and even work from there. And
Yeah.
So it becomes like, again, it back to the flexibility piece, but it's also hospitality. It's accomplishing multiple purposes with the single use space. Mm-hmm. And the a bank, which is typically a sterile environment, is now a warm and inviting environment. Mm-hmm. It's really cool to see innovation in places that you would have never expected it. And I think hotels, to loop it all back, hotels are starting to learn this, and they're being forced to with COVID. There's private gyms in single rooms now. There's workspaces, of course, and I saw one hotel was doing recording studios. They set up a few recording studios in different rooms. So, depending on your market, where you are, how you can attract locals to your hotel, which is something no one's ever really been focused on before, they get to look at their city and say, Atlanta has a ton of recording artists or a bunch of future musicians. And so let's pop some recording studios into some vacancy. You gotta be careful time of day with the noise there, but there's a lot of cool things going on. Cruise lines, was it Carnival that is now selling a co-working, co-living experience, and I think the details are still a little vague.
Yeah, I tried to find it, but it was between 25 and 50K, but how long it was unclear and everything. But I think they just want to just test what is the feedback, are people open for it before they actually launching it? When I think they just want to get some customer feedback. But it was
$50,000, they better include everything, right? And every meal, the market there, right? Like,
for sure, CPU, that's for sure included.
What is?
CPU for sure will be included.
Yeah, double occupancy. it's cool. I like the idea. It's like a semester at sea kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But for that kind of price, you're really narrow in who makes that much money, and is it that point in their life that they can get on a boat for 6 months?
The first thing I was thinking, I know that always on the cruise ship, the internet is so bad, right? It's always using the satellites, internet. So if you really want to get tech people and stuff on board, and if the internet doesn't work, they will jump off the boat probably. So I'm not sure, I love it that they're just thinking about some new ideas and to how to fill their ships, because it is challenging, right? So let's see if they would really do it or not.
Another podcast I was a big fan of, like early when I started my journey in hospitality, they were talking about, cruise not selling their, their boats for this kind of space, but more of just docking them somewhere and allowing it to be just hotel co-working space instead of going out to sea for like 6 months, just docking somewhere cool, somewhere where there's a good market, destination-ish. It could be locals, it could be people that, drive to it. New Orleans is a really popular spot that I know a lot of people leave from cruises. So like if there's a cruise ship that docked there and I was able to go into town and do some Mardi Gras type stuff safely, obviously with COVID, but then like go back on the ship and do podcasting or any type of nomad work. I think, that could be another niche. And they were talking about.
Yeah. There's like in Rotterdam, there's like a boat where you just permanently docked. Actually, it just doesn't go into the waters anymore. It just stays there and actually just is a restaurant. You can work there, some offices, and they do quite well. So I think in this stage, when people just don't want to travel or far away, this could be still opportunities, right?
Yeah, agreed. And that's what I love about the hospitality industry is it's like with all this, like we all look back in March and April and how freaked out, like obviously I was freaked out too. Like I think we all were like, what the heck's going to happen, and to now see where we are 8 months down the line, 7 months down the line, it's pretty incredible to see the things that we put ourselves in a box and now we're kind of having to get ourselves out of it. And it's really cool to see, I would love to have a hotel that has a podcast studio where I can go record. Like instead of coming to my co-working space, I'll just be over there. Like be in my element. But it's just cool to see these new innovations of space. Instead of just being a basic room, it's now a lifestyle type trend that I like seeing happen. So
what you see in the Netherlands now, actually, restaurants, they have to be closed, right? And the restaurants of the hotels can be open, but it's only they can serve guests from the hotel. So you can see all the hotels, they move into packages, right? So stay and eat packages directly. So this is really like directly, okay, we're just selling the whole experience, because you're not able to sell dinner separately. Only you can serve hotel guests. So they're really focusing directly on this packaging. And this is cool to see, like, directly from day one day later, they're just selling sleep and eat.
It's really funny. Like, I think another trend in hospitality, at least in short-term rentals, is regulations. But when you look at regulations, no matter how fast lawmakers move, the public industry is faster at adapting. And in my town, bars were closed, but restaurants were open. So what you had was bars now started selling hot dogs, and now they're a restaurant, and then they can be open. So, like, everyone just adapted so quickly, and you know, Michael in Amsterdam with a hotel that can serve food versus a restaurant that can't. Like, so the hotel room now costs €2 to spend the night, and dinner is right. So you just monetize it separately. You're not actually allowed in your hotel room, but you're a member or you're staying. And there's just ways around regulations. And
well, this happened in the past with parking. What you saw around the airports, there was like kind of the illegal parking wasn't allowed. It was only the official parkings, but there were companies that just had one office, which is a virtual office. So you rent this one, including a parking spot. So you rent the office for a few days, including a parking spot. Nobody was using the virtual space, but it was packaging, so they could sell the parking spot. So it was like park and work or something like this. Well, of course, everybody just took their flight and parked there cheaper than the officially. So I love this innovation and to kind of disrupt a bit to see, okay, just gray area, where can we still get some business? And for the hotels, I just fully understand why they just have to adapt quickly, and it's a good initiative.
Well, we talked about subscription models last week, and part of the trends and flexibility thing that we were seeing in some articles this week as we're prepping for this episode was people are going like exclusive membership. Like, okay, it's like a timeshare in a sense. You pay X amount per month or per year, and now you have all exclusive rights to this condo. Like, we saw one in California that was doing exclusive membership rates only. No transient walk-ins, nothing. It was, okay, you sign up for this membership, this is what you get. You're able to leave stuff in the room, come and go as you please, as long as you give us heads up type deal. And that was it. And so I think we're seeing subscription models.
My guess with that is it's regulation driven as well in California.
Okay.
I don't, that's just my gut.
But explain, I want to know more. Like, go on.
California is probably the most restricted state in the country when it comes to COVID. And the whole tourism, and but I think Gavin Newsom, the governor, said you can't have more than two families at Thanksgiving dinner this year, and everyone has to wear a mask inside their own homes. Like, you can't regulate things like that. You literally, that is not the government's role. And so my guess is that this hotel is doing that because these people can now be labeled tenants, and then they can come and go as they please, and they don't have, you know, whatever traveler restrictions or regulations might be in place.
True. That's a good point. I didn't think about that because California is pretty heavily regulated with it. So it's just another thing, another trend. Well, and I think that to kind of just end on that note of the subscription model and now, like, we're seeing lots of hybrids. I'm curious to see, we talk about hotels and vacation rentals a lot, but I want to see what restaurants are going to do. Like, I know for my first hotel that I ever worked at, the Davenport in Spokane, their terrace bar, they've now provided igloos, like outdoor igloos for, like, there's snow on the ground. It's really beautiful. It's cool. They did it last year pre-COVID, and it was a success, but now it even makes more sense with COVID, right? Because it's an independent little bubble for your group. So I want to see what hotels or what restaurants are going to do, because if like you were saying, if you're a bar, you can't be open, but you start serving food, you can. So if you're a hotel, but your hotel guests can't go eat restaurants, but you have a restaurant. So what about the restaurants? Are they going to start getting into the hotel space and start accommodating and building this type
of? Might try the opposite, indeed, to sell some rooms above or around the restaurant. Yeah. But what we saw as well, what we did at With Bidroom, is that as soon as it started and the restaurants were struggling to get there and the people inside, we connect them to delivery platforms, right? We help them to connect them with Uber Eats and stuff. So they start, actually, before they might holding it up because they want their people within the restaurant, but you see, they were completely, you saw their hotels, they have to survive, right? So they really went to food delivery and everything. So I think looking at food delivery, it's a huge boom. It's growing a lot. And so, yeah, they can, it could be also a reason for hotels to get people familiar with their food, right? So they can use it as opportunities, even though they generate some income now. But eventually, when you ordered some place a few times, then you're satisfied. Next time, when everything hopefully comes back to normal, is okay, I ordered there a few times, but now we'll go for the full experience and they're just going to eat in the restaurant. So if hotels doing well, if a restaurant's doing well now, could also help them in long term, right? So, and don't see it as a threat, because a lot of hotels, they're still seeing this as a threat, like, yeah, but it only is food delivery. We want to sell this whole experience. And of course, we also, the drinks are important for us because the highest margins on our drinks and the alcohol and stuff. So yeah, of course. But if you're providing a good service now, you still make some income. Later when things come back to normal and people are allowed to come into your restaurant, they come, the first thing they think about is your place. So this is, I think that also, if you're just talking about the definition of hospitality, it also just create a relationship, right? And that's, again, we go to the last topic, creating a relationship or loyalty with your clients, because you went to this restaurant last years for you and you're just closing completely and just shut down and don't deliver. And then people just finding out different places, and then you might lose this customer, which was going to your restaurant several times per month. You might lose them forever.
Yeah. So two things on that. One, I mean, I'm with you. Like the places I patronized during the worst of the lockdowns were friends, businesses, friends, restaurants. And the restaurants that I loved to go, that I didn't want to see disappear. Something I just thought of that it would be really cool. Like some of the nicer restaurants have really, really good chefs. Do some courses out of these kitchens, the professional kitchens. I'd love to see what it's like to cook in a professional kitchen. I enjoy cooking, and I think a lot of people during COVID have really taken to cooking more than they used to, for obvious reasons. But I'd love to learn new things about it. And that's a way to use the space that's not, you know, straight traditional restaurant. So,
but they can still create an experience, right? They could say, okay, we're just live broadcast the cooking, people from home, they put the iPad also in the kitchen and together they're cooking, for example. So you're creating, again, an experience. And this is, of course, what people does before you go to the restaurant, because when they have no experience, you can make it cool, right? You can see it now in the music. You can see some artists, they're not allowed to give any concert. They go into virtual concerts or live stream concerts. And this could be an opportunity for you, for a chef of a restaurant. It's okay, this is me, this is the way I'm cooking, this is how I'm just preparing the meals and stuff. And
I think right? People like, man, I took a couple courses from this guy. He's fantastic. I can't wait till they reopen. It's, I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, no, I agree. And totally like off topic, but I even did like a virtual date this during this whole like COVID stuff, where I sent like the ingredients to the girl I was seeing, and then we cooked over FaceTime together. And it's just like there's these cool like little things like, you know, FaceTime and this video slash in person, it adds like a little, it's weird, but it's like adds a little bit of uniqueness to it, because like you said, we have to innovate, right? So if you're going to do it, might as well build that cool connection. Like you said, I would love to see like one of the chefs I used to work with, I would love to have like a cooking show that's exclusively for me. Heck, they could even do it in the restaurant. They could provide an iPad at the table and do a virtual stream and just say, you know, as he's making everyone's meals, he's just kind of talking out to the camera or something. I don't know. There's all these certain things that you could do that would be, that'd be kind of cool.
So used to making your food, you can follow how he's making your food, and then you just, they're going to send it to your place, right? So half hour, they just preparing it, and then you can see not much later, it's in your own place. You're creating a whole experience. I don't know, not in all kitchens, there's some restaurant you don't want to see it, but if there's a good, it's a good one, it'll be fun to see what is actually, how they're preparing your meal and how much later it's going to be delivered That's actually technology, right? You can see how they can prepare your meal, kind of in maybe even virtual reality, maybe even you would like to, but you just, okay, how to create the meal, because you have to do something. And this is, again, to create kind of a relationship. And it maybe it doesn't bring you so much money, but again, you just stay visible for your clients. And I think that's so important on this stage to still stay in contact with your audience. And that's what some people forget, right? They say, okay, I'm just closing completely. It's not profitable. And hopefully in the, maybe in a few months I'll reopen. But then I think recovery going to be much stronger. It's the same in our company. We could say we're going to lay off half the people or more. But then if we want to bounce back, if we want to recover, the building your team and comeback take you much longer. So if you really want to recover quick, yeah, it is a risk. But eventually, of course, if you want to recover quickly, you should take some risk.
Yeah. And we talk about transparency all the time, too. So just doing it, like being more transparent, live streaming a chef cooking your food and having it delivered to your house is just another version. So that's like we find, I think the more we find transparency and keeping the good service alive, no matter what, whether it's going a little extra mile to, you know, clean your rooms better and market it that you're cleaning your rooms better or just doing other things, good service is always usually going to end up being on top of being
transparent. Yeah, I think it's more than just saying you clean rooms better than other people, right? Like, I think that message at this point is kind of washed away. The watching the chef cook your meal would be super cool, right? Or having them, you know, send you the ingredients and then you FaceTime with the chef and you cook with them, right? Like the chef can do it with 20 people that sign up and they send out these boxes of food and everyone cooks together or watches the chef. Like there's ways to innovate even a restaurant that's probably harder to innovate than a hotel or short-term rentals that can flex their usage and their inventory.
Yeah, well, it's the same I never mentioned once, but you got the guys from Triploop. Actually, they were selling group travel, and group travel is not really, it's pretty dead now, right? So it just doesn't work. So what they did, they had the whole platform where people can log in, they had the app and everything. So what they built within a few weeks, that people do kind of a virtual travel, so they can still connect with people. So what I did, for example, you go to Japan, they have like a 10-day program to Japan. So a few hours per day, you just learn about the country and everything, but still you're creating an audience. So you're like around with maybe with 20 people, other travelers, you could communicate with each other. So actually you felt like you traveled kind of together, even though it's virtually. Of course, travel is different experience. You want to see them in real life, but for them, keep them alive, actually, because they're doing this, they get money from I think from the Japan tourist bureau. So actually, they are liking this project. They get quite some money, so they could survive. So by actually adopting those kind of technologies and stuff, and okay, this innovate them, because otherwise they will just probably be bankrupt. But now they survive. They get some money from I think from Japan, so they survive by using innovation, and they just have to survive till everything comes back, and then they can just continue again. So I think that's also important, right? It's the same with the restaurants. Yeah. You could say, I'm shut down everything and hopefully doesn't take too long, or you try to innovate. It could be the way, you can see in hotels as well, when they're in here in Poland, there's okay, just everything into safety. Is that the menu? There was no menu anymore. So okay, where's the menu? It was a few months ago when you could still go to the restaurant. And I said, no, you just have to do it on your phone. You just have to order on your phone. Now we just stepped away completely from menus, papers, and everything. And they directly innovate. And I think this will be happening more, right? And as Michael said, by checking in with paper, writing down what is your name, all those things. Now you have the time as a property, as a hotel, as a restaurant to innovate, because now you can experiment, right? You can make some small mistakes, but if your hotel or your restaurant is fully booked again, then if you have a mistake, it will be more challenging.
100% agree. And with that restaurant thing, that package that you're talking about, I actually saw a restaurant do that. But the one thing that they didn't do was like allow you to do the FaceTime with the chef. What I think would be cool, you know how we're doing QR codes now? Everyone's doing like QR menus. So you do a video of that certain meal on how to make it. Mm-hmm. You have a QR thing with the instructions and the ingredients, and then maybe that would be a cool way to do it. So yeah, we have any restaurant. Yeah. If we have any restaurateurs that tune into this, you're welcome. We just gave you a new business pivot. Well, I know. I think this is a good episode, guys. Any final notes or thoughts coming up for this week for anybody, you know, with you guys at NoiseAware or with that Bidroom?
Well, I think to put a bow on it, like certainly the term of 2020 is flexibility. You can't have prepaid bookings anymore. Almost every booking and every type of travel is flexible. The booking windows are no longer, you know, 6 week lead times to destination markets, they're a week. So, you know, I think moving into ski season, where October, November is prime booking for January, February, probably bookings aren't going to come until January, February, right before people travel. So hang tight. You know, I think people will show up. It's just not going to be the same. And you got to be flexible.
Yeah. Give them a reason to show up.
Well, I think I'm just curious when it happened, right? We just discussed it in the airline industry. They're working with vouchers and still to get some income and be flexible on this. I'm really curious also, this is not so common yet in the hotel business. Of course, for individual hotels, might be more challenging. But if the large chains, they'll say, okay, we just, if you're booking through us, we're just is kind of semi-flexible. So in this case, yes, you just your maybe your amount of your payment is non-refundable, but you can book it, you can rechange to any property which we like to have, which you'd like to have at any date. I'm really curious if they're adopting those kind of things, because in the airline is really common now, and every airline giving vouchers and stuff to still not pay back everything. So I'm curious if hotels also coming up with how can we still survive on this stage. But it will be challenging, of course, for the individual properties, but they might give a different experience, right? I think everybody's curious now, and I think now is the time for education to show everything. You say, okay, how the chief is cooking, that will be super interesting. Might be even say, okay, I want to see how cleaner, maybe, I don't know how long it takes. You take maybe you clean your room in 10, 15 minutes. Well, if I would clean my bedroom, it would probably take me 5 times longer, because he has kind of like a systematic approach. So I'm pretty curious to see actually, like, okay, how can you make those things more efficient, right? This is not every process, this is operational wise. It is really interesting. You can learn from a lot how they're, and even though in hospitality, right, how they're just dealing with customers, but also with, for example, when there's an issue with challenges, because it's also, this is management. So they can learn a lot from hospitality. You can see a lot of people did hospitality schooling and they work in different businesses because they have this hospitality approach. So I think now will be also a way to learn from the hospitality actually. And I hope they will share a bit what they can do.
Yeah, totally agree. Couldn't have said it better myself. Well, awesome, guys. Let's do this again next week.